Welcome to Bar Talk, the place women go to train, grow, and find balance in Christ. Today, our topic is the value of a wife. Now, I feel a bit out of my league on this one, but I had a conversation with God and He told me I got some valuable things to say. So, stay tuned, get ready, take a deep breath in, and 5, 6, 7. So I want to start by acknowledging the fact that there appears to be a largely misplaced value being placed on the role of being a wife. If you take a look at social media or you entertain any amount of conversation in your friend groups, or maybe you overhear things being said about marriage and being a wife, you'll probably understand where I'm coming from when I say that there's been an undue amount of value placed on the image of being a wife versus the true role and the intent and the lasting and God-given value of marriage. So I want to start by saying, as we mentioned in the previous episode, the value of a woman in singleness. If you haven't heard that, make sure you go back and listen. But in that episode, I briefly talked about how being a Christian is being in relationship with Christ, and it's reflective of what earthly marriages are supposed to look like in the earth. Marriage came from God. This is not something that man created in the sense that we see it today, you know, going to the church and having the dress and the ring and the reception, all that. That is man-made. But the concept of lifelong devotion and fruitfulness and reflecting God's love, that is Christianity, you guys. So that's why in the previous episode, I stated that it's really going to be more challenging than it probably has to be to function within a marriage if you do not first know how to function as the bride of Christ, because marriage was His idea, right? When He sent His son Jesus to the earth to save us from our sins, right? It was so that we could be reconciled or joined to God through this covenant, right? And that is the same thing we do when we commit ourselves and connect ourselves to another person in marriage. So, I kind of feel, I feel the Holy Spirit giving me a little wind to talk about this. But if you don't know, I am not married yet, but God does have marriage in the future for me. However, me being a Christian, I have come into relationship with Christ in such a way that He has taught me things that my parents never taught me, I didn't observe in the community around me, as it relates to what it means to be a wife. So we're going to really dive into it today. So as a part of God's church, which if you don't know, is referred to in the Word of God as His bride, I understand that my role is to be a helpmeet. Now, if you're anything like me, I always wonder, like, what does that even mean? Like, that word doesn't even make sense to me. But after some studying and, just listening to different people explain what the term means and sitting with God, a helpmeet simply means that you are a suitable helper. Amen. Now, don't that make more sense? Why they couldn't just say that? But you know, when you read the Bible, you have to understand all the different translations and how things have been interpreted for, whatever version of the Bible that you're reading. So when you see the word helpmeet, just think a suitable helper. So as a Christian, we know that God is our help. Right? His Holy Spirit lives inside of us and guides us and directs us and teaches us things that, like this topic that I'm speaking on right now, that we may not have the earthly knowledge of, but as we spend time with God, He has sent His helper, the Holy Spirit, through the sacrifice that Christ Jesus made on the cross to lead us and guide us through life, right? So, not only is God our helper in the spirit, we, as his children, his daughters, we know that before, oh Lord, I always mess these verses up, child. I promise y'all I read my Bible. But before he formed us, he knew us, right? That's what I'm trying to say. Before he formed us in our mother's wombs, he knew us and he ordained us to be, his ministers in the earth. And I'm paraphrasing, but like Pastor Torre Roberts say, read your whole Bible and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But essentially, the point is that God knows those that are his chosen, right? And as we've discussed in previous podcasts, he has a plan and a purpose for us in this earth, right? You may have heard the scripture, faith without works is dead, right? And that scripture can be misinterpreted at times, but essentially, my understanding of that verse is that when you have faith in Christ, it's going to produce fruit. It's going to produce works. It's going to produce purpose, right, in your life. So, as Christian women that are connected to our Father God, not only is He helping us, but we are furthering his purpose and his plans in this earthly vessel, right? That we've been placed into, right? Because, like we said, before he formed us in, human form, he had an intention for us. And when we come to earth as his daughters, as wives, right? Our purpose is to work in conjunction with who we've been joined to. Now, since we're now talking about earthly marriage, that person is your husband. You see how that works? You see how brilliant God is? I just love it, right? So we know that in God's divine order, it goes, God, the husband, the wife, and then children and everything else follows, right? So remember when I told you that marriage was God's idea? In the home, right? Your husband functions as the priest of your household. Essentially, if we think about looking in a mirror, right? So on one side of the mirror is earth, and on the other, in the reflection, right, you see heaven. So when the man looks in the mirror, he is supposed to be reflecting the priest, the high priest of the home, right? Jesus, right? And then on the other side of that man, you have the wife. When she looks in the mirror at her reflection, she sees the church, right? Jesus is functioning, or the man rather is functioning as the high priest of the home, right? Jesus was our high priest. He came and interceded on our behalf to join us back to God. And then we have the woman, who in this case is the church, Christians, right? The church is a building. Yes, we know that. But the church is also the body You get me? You follow me? The body of Christ. Do y'all see how that works? And how when we join with a husband, we, what does it say? The two become one flesh. Jesus and his church become one, should become one, which is why, again, we're saying that, especially as professed Christians, this is what hurts my heart, and this is my mission in this podcast. I want y'all to understand that we cannot successfully and righteously do marriage God's way without God in it. Okay, so we got to do a better job at that. And yes, I'm saying that as a single woman. Guess what? Because I'm the bride of Christ, and my daddy, he my and it gets confusing. He's my father, he's my friend, he's my husband, he's my counselor. My God is everything to me. What did he say? I am, and he is everything to me. So Jesus has shown me many things. So when you're thinking about being a wife, a large portion of your value comes from your ability to help and best serve whoever God has connected you to. I know a large portion of this podcast deals with femininity, and I know for a fact, based on the information that I've seen floating around the internet, that femininity, and I guess in the Christian lens, femininity is not typically what you're gonna see on social media. It's not all about wearing dresses all the time and flowers and pink. And I'm preaching to myself because I fell into that trap, right, of thinking that femininity meant always being soft and, just this certain kind of way. But femininity in Christ's viewpoint, it's not weakness, it's not servitude. Obviously, we are to serve each other in marriage, but no one is greater or less in their role than the other. It takes two, right? It takes two. And I could go deeper on that, but I feel a little bit unqualified, and Holy Spirit just strengthened me to just talk about this and give me the wisdom, Father God. But yes, when you think about being a wife, I don't want you to think that your role is just to be there and have paid trips and, be coddled and taken care of and not have any worries in the world. That is a concept that has not come from God. No matter what these trad wives and all these trends are in the world, as a wife, just like as God's church, as his body, we have work to do. And your work might not look the same as another woman's work. Maybe this woman's work is to be a housewife. Maybe that's her work and how she best serves in her marriage. Maybe this other woman's work is to be an entrepreneur. Maybe this other woman's work is to manage her husband's business. I don't know. It could look like anything, but to assume that in a marriage you play a minimal or inconsequential or non-existent role and you're just there to be served, that is unbiblical. And that's just that on that. Let's move on. Might you or someone you know benefit from godly feminine advice? Well, I've got something in store for you. I am launching ABCD, which stands for Asia Martin's Brand Consultations for Dancers. Now, you might be saying, how do I take part in this if I'm not a dancer and if I don't have a brand? Well, this is a coaching service that's open to all. You don't have to be a dancer. However, if you are, say you're a part of a team and you would like this service for your entire group, that option is available as well. Essentially, this is an opportunity to receive coaching from myself on how to best dance through life. Booking is now available through the link in my Instagram bio at onlyasianache. Can't wait to coach you. I can tell that this episode is going to get a bit lengthy, and I try to keep it within 30 minutes. So I'm going to combine these next two topics. So the value of a wife also comes from her ability to build and to worship, right? Now, worship is probably sending some of y'all into a frenzy. And if so, you might want to reconsider whether you really want to be a wife, okay? Remember, marriage was God's idea, okay? So let's go back. Let's start with builder, and then we'll ease our way into worship, okay? So what does it mean for a wife to build? Okay, so remember previously we talked about God giving you a purpose and an assignment, right? So I want you to think about church. And I know everybody did not grow up in the church, so I'll try to explain these concepts as succinctly and thoroughly as I can within the time frame. So in the church, you have different roles. You have a music ministry, you have ushers, you have the deacons, you have the Sunday school teachers, you have all these different assignments and roles that come together to make the body or the church flow and be something that, you know, God's people can be from, right? Whether they need financial assistance or shelter, like these are ministries within the church, prayer ministries. They even have dance ministries within the church that are all there to function as services for the body of Christ, to build the body, right? Follow me. We're talking about building. So within your marriage, going back to working and serving your husband, right? Within your marriage, you are supposed to be building something, right? It could be building a business that's going to bring finances into your household. It could be simply building your children. That is work too. That is a huge calling from God, right? To build the next generation. But I do not want us as women to think that, oh, build, that's masculine. I'm supposed to receive or just, you know, enjoy the fruits of my husband's labor. That is not biblical, y'all. And it's not productive for the kingdom either, right? We talked a little bit about this in the value of a woman in singleness. If a woman has all that value, what makes you think, what makes us think as women that when God joins us with that man, that king, that priest, that husband, that is equally as valuable, that he wants us to then disappear? Right? To take all those great and glorious traits that he highlighted to us in singleness and just kind of melt into this man. Now that can be tricky because there is a form of submissiveness that we have to fall into God's divine order. Remember we talked about God, husband, wife, right? But in the Bible, God tells husbands, love your wives as God loves the church and gave himself up for her, right? So this all has to function together, right? So when you are, and I'm gonna say this, ladies, because we do have more power than we think in terms of selecting who we marry. We're not just the one selected. You need to be doing some selecting yourself, right? So when you choose to be joined to this man, check his nature, right? And you have to know Christ and Christ's nature in order to compare it effectively, right? To have something solid to compare it to. Not to your father, as great as he was, right? We're looking for men of God, men that are going to do what the scripture says, love us as Christ loves the church, loved his church, right? So this man should not be intimidated by your greatness. He should be excited, right? He should be looking for ways to build you up in the gifts that God has given you. Because when he looks at you, just like when Jesus looks at his church, right? He sees what can be accomplished when we work together. And that should bring him joy, right? So if you feel that you're with a partner who, one, might not even be able to see your gifting and your calling, right? Or you have no avenue for your purpose and your calling to be, to function within that relationship. That's a red flag right there, because God's purpose is that he joins two of his children, right? The one that reflects him, the head, the priest, the leader, and the one that reflects his church, the body, and they function as one. They function in a way that brings the earth to a better place, right? They're both building towards something that is going to be reflective of God himself in the earth, right? So just be mindful of that. Now, we're moving into worship. Now, as human beings, as God's church, we were created with one purpose. One purpose, and that is to worship God, right? Let all things that have breath praise ye the Lord, right? So, like we said, marriage is reflective of Jesus and his church, right? So, as wives, yes, as hard as it is to say, and then we have to check our hearts too, because why are you marrying a man that is hard for you to praise, that is hard for you to, give thanks to or say kind things to? And let's clarify. So, in this topic, I'm going to tie together praise and worship, which are both essential to being a wife. But worship has more to do with submission and obedience, whereas praise has to do with the fruits of our lips, right? So we have to worship in deed, in our behavior, right? The things we do, how we obey. And then praise is simply the things that we say and how we show our thanks and gratitude, in a physical sense, right? Worship has to do with our heart. Praise is the outward manifestation of what should be in our heart. Obviously, we know that we serve one God, right? But when we function in the role of wife, us serving our husbands, we serve our husbands as unto the Lord, right? When we submit to them, we are submitted to God, because that is his order, right? And I know this is touchy for a lot of us strong-minded, independent, smart women. However, that's why I say find a man. Choose to be joined with a man who is having his heart continuously turned towards Christ, right? Because if you find a man like that, I promise you'll have no issue giving him praise and, worshiping him to in a sense that you are just acknowledging, the things he contributes to the household and how he treats, your children eventually and how he cares for you and is kind to you. Like you don't mind blessing them with the fruits of your words, right? Because what do we do for Jesus? We praise him, right? With the fruit of our lips, right? We make a joyful noise unto the Lord. How do we do that? With clapping and singing and dancing, right? And as the priest of your home, he wants to feel that, right? That he is loved, that he is appreciated for not only what he does, but who he is. Who he is, y'all. So these are, I know this has probably got your mind going because it's got my mind going as I talk about it. But yes, your value as a wife also comes from being a builder alongside your husband and a worshiper. Your value as a wife also comes from your ability to be a watchman and a warrior within your marriage. Now, when you think about femininity, oftentimes you don't think about the word warrior being right up next to it, right? But again, we want to discard the idea that femininity does not have strength attached to it, right? It's not that strength is not attached to it, it's just that the approach is different, and I dare say strategic, right? The Holy Spirit revealed to me during our quiet time that a Christian woman is a Christian man's secret weapon, right? When you go to war, and again, whenever you hear me say husband, I also want you to think about Christ, right? Those words should be interchangeable, right? So when we go to war, think when you go to war in the world, right? What are we to do as God's church, as God's daughters? We are to hide ourselves in Christ, right? To put on the full armor of God. Right, if you're a Disney girl like I am, you can imagine that scene where Mulan is getting ready to go and fight on her father's behalf, right? Because and he's too prideful to say it, but he's not strong enough to take on what's coming at the family, what's coming at the village, right? So Mulan, knowing her strength, right? And her chi, her power is what they call it. We know our power comes from God, right? The power of the Holy Spirit. Her knowing her strength and her ability, she hides herself in the armor of her father and she goes to war on his behalf, right? So that's a beautiful image of what we are to do in the earth and in our marriages, right? We don't have to necessarily go out and wield swords and fight men like Mulan did, but how do we fight? Right? We fight in prayer. We fight by speaking those things that we want to see over our marriage, over our children, over our finances, right? Confessing the promises of God in the face of the lies of the enemy, right? We are warriors in that way, right? When our husbands maybe are too weak to stand or they're not able to yield as much strength as you might have at one point in time, at any point in time. As women, we are not incapable, y'all. I want you guys to take that idea, that mindset of this soft life. That's all cute and dandy, but marriage is not soft. This walk with God is not for the weak, okay? And it's the same thing with marriage. So when it comes time for you to step up, whether that be going out and getting a job, maybe if you're a stay-at-home mom and maybe your husband falls on hard times or takes a pay cut, right? Maybe it's praying, right, for restoration of your marriage or, things are just going amok in your family with your children. You're on your knees in prayer as that prayer warrior in the home, right? So again, we have a mission, ladies, not to just, float behind our husbands with our heads in the clouds, right? No, we have to have our eyes open too to know how we can strategically go to war on our family's behalf. As wives, we are also promoters and billboards, right? So think about our lives as Christian women, right? Everything we do is meant to give glory to our Heavenly Father, right? So as wives, it's the same thing, right? We want to honor our husbands in the way we speak, especially about them in the company of others, right? We want to lift them and highlight them and speak good things of their character, even when, and of course, this doesn't apply to Jesus because Jesus is perfect, but we are human beings. So there will be times where your husband falls short. But guess what? As that wife, as that worshiper, that promoter, that builder, that billboard, your job is to speak life, right? To be his crowning glory, right? In Proverbs, there's a mention of how her husband was praised in the something about the gates. Y'all listen, I'm working on my scripture, but I know the Lord. I promise you, I know the Lord. I just can't always quote the scriptures, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Go read Proverbs 31. But it talks about how her husband was honored amongst men, essentially, right? And how she clothed her family and, these fine linens and how she was entrepreneurial. And, we know the Proverbs 31 woman wasn't a real woman, but we can take some of those concepts and apply it to ourselves when it comes to being that billboard, right? When people look at you, they should say, wow, like he really loves her. Like he really not only loves her, but he respects her by, and this is gonna rub y'all the wrong way, but he respects her by leading her and guiding her to respect herself in the way that she speaks, in the way that she dresses, in the way that she goes about doing business. You can tell that she is covered by a king. That's what people should say. And that's what I mean when I say be a billboard as a wife. And last but not least, you are a friend and a lover to your husband, right? So, a friend. Of course, there's a lot of hard work that goes into marriage, especially, I would imagine, and I know, once you add kids into the equation, right? It's not easy. And there are going to be many a time where it doesn't feel like all the pretty images that we see on social media. But at the end of the day, you want the person that you marry to see you and to feel that you are a friend, right? And ask yourself this: are you a friend to Jesus? How often do you talk to him? How much time do you spend with him? Do you consult him with the hard moments of your life? Do you take time to just laugh at the little things that you observe him doing? Do you know him? Do you know his nature? Do you know what he likes, what he doesn't like? So, yeah, Jesus is the best friend that we could ever have, y'all. So I dare say, if you don't know how to be a friend to Jesus, and if you haven't become a friend, in his sight, where he's sharing things with you and, whispering things in your ear, not literally, sometimes literally, but not typically not literally. But when I say that, I mean that you're attuned to his voice and his guiding, right? Through relationship. If you haven't quite mastered that, it could be more challenging than it has to be to really be a good friend to an earthly husband or anyone for that matter. And then a lover, just like Jesus wants intimate time with you as his church, right? Not just on Sunday, right? But throughout your life, he wants you to intentionally carve out time to spend one-on-one with him, getting to know all those things about him, and just being vulnerable with him, right? We're talking about Jesus right now, but remember, anytime I'm talking about Jesus, you can replace that with an earthly husband, okay? Right? Telling him about, your fears and the things that have impacted you and how they're still impacting you today and how you are navigating these things, just like you would talk to, a trusted person, whether it be a therapist or, a very, very a boyfriend, okay, if you're still on that. That was a little shade, right? A little bit of shade. We too old for boyfriends. Either put a ring on it or get out my face, okay? Anyway, let's say boyfriend, right? That's the person who you consider yourself to be closest with in many different ways. And y'all catch my drift, right? There's nothing you won't share, no part of you that is hidden or off guards to this person. And that's what it means to be a lover, not only to a husband, an earthly husband, but to your heavenly husband as well. Okay. So, yeah, I did it. If you're a wife, you can feel free to chime in with anything that I left out. I know this is not a comprehensive list. However, these are some of the major things that were highlighted to me in my time with the Holy Spirit as valuable aspects of being a wife. And if there are any men that are listening, feel free to chime in. Tell me if, I hit it on the head or if I'm totally off. I know I'm not off, but I'm open to feedback. All right. And that's it for today, y'all. As always, I'm going to close this podcast with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful time that I've spent with my sisters and maybe my brothers too in Christ tonight. I pray that you would wipe the mirror for us, Lord God. Wipe the mirror so that we can see what marriage is supposed to look like. Father God, I pray that you first help us to come into a true covenant with you, Lord God, so that you can guide us to the men or the women who you have in mind for us, who are reflective of you and your church, who we can build with and, function with in a loving, healthy, and realistic way, Father God. We know that marriage was your idea. So I pray that you allow your children to lean on you and to seek your kingdom in terms of who they are to be joined to and how they can best serve their husbands and wives within the context of a kingdom, heavenly, God-ordained marriage, Father God. I pray that if there is anyone that is struggling, within their marriage or struggling to find or be discovered by their kingdom spouse or the spouse that you have in mind for them. I pray that every barrier be broken down right now in Jesus' name, Father God. I pray that marriages would flourish for those of your children who you have called to marriage. I pray that every dark principality, every curse, every generational bondage, Father God, be broken right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and that your kingdom would come to earth and be reflected in the joint endeavors of your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.